experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to just another Jets podcast review show as the New York Jets headed over to Western New York to face the Buffalo Bills and unfortunately fall to the Bills by a final of 20-12. Along with Rick Laughlin, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. And Rick, let's just start this off, you know, on the front foot here. Mike White is not human. Mike White is just unbelievably superhuman, even though he took a nasty, nasty shot to the ribs by Matt Milano. And we all thought that was it. He's done for the game. We don't know how bad it is. We bet he probably has a broken rib or two. And you see him writhing in pain on the field turf. You saw him in another shot walking slowly back towards the tunnel to get to the locker room. And after a couple plays by Joe Flacco, which he got basically strip-sacked, fumbled, and then the ball got recovered by the Bills, moments later, here comes Mike White coming back out of the tunnel, back to the field, back to the Jets sideline, and going back into the game when the Jets got the ball back. Mike White is a complete, unbelievable warrior of a football player.
And, Dan, there's no refuting that. I mean, I would look to going back to the 2011-2012 NFC Championship game when you saw Eli Manning getting battered and bruised against that San Francisco Niners front seven. Even in that game, though, as much as he was getting knocked around the pocket and they gave him kudos for his toughness, I mean, he did not have to leave the game on a single occasion due to injury. And Mike White, as you alluded to, not once but twice, looked like he was down and out for the count. And for him to come back, show the wherewithal, show the, let's just call it intestinal fortitude, to be able to just take a hit, take that smash mouth hit in the mouth and get up and say, thank you, sir, I'll take another one, is just a testament to the kind of rallying effect he has on this locker room. You know, I'm not convinced, and look, you know, Zach Wilson still has a lot to prove. I'm not convinced that Zach Wilson would have the toughness and the poise to be able to stand in that pocket and take some of those hits. And frankly, that his body would hold up against it, too. So the fact that Mike White is as healthy as you could ask for this week, expected to play. They've now promoted Zach Wilson from the inactive roster to replace Joe Flacco as the backup. But as far as I'm concerned, and we've kind of been banging this drum all the last few weeks, Dan, this is Mike White's job to lose. And despite the fact that, you know, now out of the bye, of course, they're 1-3 and not exactly trending in the right direction, Mike White has shown me everything that I need to see to have confidence in him this season and moving forward into the next year.
And this is why, after the game was over last week for the Jets when they lost in Minnesota, this is why Garrett Wilson said, I will go to war for that boy. This is why Mike White is adored and loved in that Jets locker room, whether it be at the Atlantic Health Training Facility in Florham Park, on the road, or at home at MetLife Stadium in those locker rooms. This is why Mike White is respected and loved by his teammates, because you're not going to get that from Zach Wilson. As upsetting to say that as it is, that's the truth. That is the truth. Mike White is the reason why the New York Jets should be able to move forward with him at quarterback, and then we'll see what happens next year. And even though, yes, we really can't see Joe Flacco anymore as the starting quarterback or at least a backup for this Jets team, because, let's be honest, his career is over. And I thank Joe for the victory against Cleveland on the road this year, but the truth of the matter is this. And I usually don't like to talk about this in this way, but let's be honest. His career is over. His career is done. It's time for Joe Flacco to just say, thank you. I had a great time. I won my Super Bowl with Baltimore. I'm ready to move on with my life. And I think that's where, to be honest, that's where Joe Flacco really needs to go.
And especially you, given the fact that this offensive line has been reshuffled, it's going against last week a top-tier defensive front in the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott, and a defensive scheme that's not too dissimilar from what Robert Saleh is running in a wide nine, basically rushing four, dropping seven, and hoping that instead of blitzing, they're going to get there with their down linemen by rotating guys in and out. So they're basically the Jets and Bills defense, a mirror image of one another. And if you imagine what Joe Flacco, and I know he was in for a handful of snaps, and he, of course, had that lost fumble. I mean, you saw in that short sample size what would have happened if an immobile quarterback like Joe Flacco was in there in those occasions. It just would not have been something – it wouldn't have been pretty. The Jets certainly wouldn't have had an opportunity at the end of that game to win. So the fact that Mike White showed the poise, showed the intestinal fortitude to come back in and give his chance, his club a chance to win – it's just, like I said, a testament to this coaching staff making the right decision, not allowing themselves to fall in love with a number two overall draft pick and basically get caught up in the fact that they spent such a high draft pick on a quarterback, had such high hopes for. At the end of the day, you look at Mike White and you see that he gives this Jets team the best opportunity to win. And as you look forward, and I know we're going to recap this game, Dan, but as you look forward in the season – you know, it's just a difficult thing. The Jets really had control of their own playoff destiny before, certainly before the loss to Minnesota and even to a lesser extent before this loss against Buffalo. But now the Jets are going to need a lot of good breaks in the games they play, and they're going to need some help on that scoreboard because the playoffs at this point is not guaranteed, and they're going to need some help if they're even dreaming of getting in at this point.
No, I agree with you, Rick, and I think that's the one thing this Jets team needs to understand, and I think this Jets team needs to really hunker down on is that, look, this has been a surprising year. There's no doubt about it. You didn't expect it. I didn't expect it. Our colleagues did not expect this Jets team to be so quickly a favorite to possibly break this 12-year non-playoff streak. And all of a sudden, Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, Elijah Vera Tucker, Garrett Wilson, Michael Clemens, Max Mitchell. I mean, everything and anything was going in their way. Jermaine Johnson, Bryce Huff, everything was going their way. And then all of a sudden, now obviously with some injuries and some pretty good finagling with the roster, they have become a stronger team. But once again now, they're kind of lacking – during the start of games. The quarterbacking play was decent, but so far, I mean, let's be honest, this is ahead of schedule. It's wonderful to see it. I'm happy to see it. And we all know what this Jets team is going to do next year. But in this game, Rick, against the Buffalo Bills, you know, this was a missed opportunity once again. And that's the shame of it, because the truth of the matter is this, Rick. The captain of the defense in C.J. Mosley does not make that critical mental mistake where the Bills are trying to fake having the tight end go under center to get the ball snapped, to go for it on fourth and one. If C.J. Mosley does not buy that and jumps over the line of scrimmage to go get the tight end, you know, going under center for the snap, that touchdown does not happen towards the end of the first half, and the Jets are going to start the ball in the second half at a scoreless game, and they probably would have had that opening touchdown with Zonovan Knight.
These are the plays that really are going to wake you up at night if you're a Jets fan. I mean, you can live with, not that it's any easier of a pill to swallow, but you can live with a second-year running back in Michael Carter, who's played well this year, coughing up the football in a key moment. You can live with, frankly, some rookie mistakes and maybe some penalties and overzealous plays that result in, you know, like I said, penalties or positive yardage. But in the case of C.J. Mosley, where you see Dawson Knox basically come and rush under center on a fourth and one near midfield as the halftime is closing in on halftime, and the fact that he did not have the presence and understanding as a veteran and the captain of that defense not to try to pull Troy Polamalu and jump over the line of scrimmage and make a heroic play, you know, it's just out of character for him. I guess you have to just chalk it up as a mental gap that I guess happens to both veterans and rookies alike. But, you know, it's these mental mistakes and these, like you mentioned, Dan, the last few weeks finding ways not to win games but to create opportunities for the opponent to put the game away. That is the most concerning thing to me, because this is a Jets team. They're young. They're relatively inexperienced. They're trying to learn how to play the right way, and they are developing some habits, particularly late in games and in key situations right before halftime, as you mentioned with C.J. Mosley, for just making these boneheaded mental errors, not even anything physically where they're not able to, in the case of a cornerback, keep up with the opponent's wide receiver. It's just mental preparation and staying sharp and understanding time, awareness, and all those factors that go into it. They're just not putting that all together. And you would hope that, again, this has become a bit of a trend the last few weeks during this losing streak, if you want to call it that, or losing 3 out of 4 coming out of the bye. And you would hope that moving forward, this is something that doesn't continue to happen. And that starts this week against the Detroit Lions team that has been 5-1 in their last 6 games. They were featured on Hard Knocks. They were really kind of the laughingstock of the NFL last year. But this is a dangerous, dangerous situation for the Jets coming out, losing 3 out of 4. They're not favored in this game against the Detroit Lions. And as we mentioned, their playoff hopes are not solely in their own hands. So this, to me, will be a very telling game against the Detroit Lions, how the Jets are able to bounce back after letting a potential win slip out of their grasp.
No, I agree with you, Rick. And, yes, we understand that the Lions play at Ford Field. Yes, we know Ford Field is a dome team, but you know what? You got to admit that this Jet, you know, this Lions team, they're doing much, much better than anyone ever probably predicted. And the truth of the matter is this, Rick, is that this Lions team, you know, whether they play in a dome or not, it's no excuse. You know, they have to play Chicago twice a year, and that means on the road at Soldier Field. They got to play Green Bay twice a year, and one of those games are going to be at Lambeau Field. They got the only other team they got to play in a dome twice, you know, on their schedule every single year, twice a year, is the Minnesota Vikings. So, you know, there's a lot of questions if you want to ask that. I mean, that's fine, but still, though, the truth of the matter is this, is that when you got a guy like Dan Campbell, who, yeah, maybe the whole we're gonna, you know, bite you in the kneecaps, you know, for, you know, gives you, you know, laughs and all that stuff. I mean, the truth of the matter is he's being serious. He wants to go after the opposition and he wants to win these games for the Detroit Lions. And if he finds a way to knock the Jets off even further away from a playoff position, it's gonna be hard swimming for the Jets to move forward next week. But still, though, the one thing is this. And that is Mike LaFleur, because the truth of the matter is this. I understand you want to be, you know, throwing the ball majority of the time, but, you know, when the run is working for you and the run is being successful because you want more running plays to set up these passing plays, and the way that Zonovan Bam Knight took that ball in the second half, and unfortunately he didn't get over 100 yards combined from the line of scrimmage in both rushing and pass catching. But he scored his first NFL touchdown as a rookie in the NFL, and it's just absolutely terrible that you're wasting a guy's potential like Zonovan Knight to add on when Breece Hall comes back next year. Michael Carter and Ty Johnson and James Robinson, depending on how many of the running backs remain for next season. The point is this. You cannot waste a single moment of Zonovan Knight or any of the running backs to abandon the run and basically throw for your life.
And, again, this to me is one of the things holding the Jets back from being in the mix, in the playoff mix, in the divisional mix, in, dare I say, championship contention, is half the problem with Zach Wilson, his inexperience, his inability to progress as a quarterback, and the other half is some of his development, I'll be honest, and growth was stunted by Mike LaFleur and this boneheaded play calling that we mentioned. I mean, throwing the ball 58 times against the Minnesota Vikings and wholeheartedly abandoning the run, even in this contest against the Bills, 44 pass attempts to only 22 rushes, and 17 of those 22 rushes were by Bam Knight, and Michael Carter had 5 touches. You didn't even see James Robinson this game. You didn't see Ty Johnson. The fact that now you have a capable quarterback in Mike White shouldn't change the formula this drastically. You should still not have a 2-to-1 pass-to-run ratio. That should be closer to 1-to-1. The Jets don't need Mike White, whether it's Mike White under center and certainly Zach Wilson under center, should not be passing the ball 40-plus times. That is not – the Jets are not built, even though their defense is stout and they are stingy, they are not built to outgun the Josh Allens, the Justin Herberts, the Pat Mahomes of the world. They have to run the football, possess the football, and play tough defense and make the opponents make mistakes. And that's the one thing I'll say, because, you know, I don't want to act like I'm nitpicking this defense, but if you look at the 6 losses the Jets have had this year, they have only forced 2 total turnovers in that game. They forced 1 turnover against the Baltimore Ravens on opening week and that loss, and they first forced 1 turnover on the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's it. So there's a common thread here with the Jets when they basically are getting pass happy. They're getting in third and long situations where the quarterback is making desperate throws. How many times did you see Mike White in an empty set with no tight ends, no running backs to chip any rushers, basically a sitting duck back there with 4 wide, 5 wide, and if the receivers didn't get a free release or he didn't have somebody open, he was basically taking one on the chin. It, to me, it's just mind-numbing that Mike LaFleur, frankly, to be honest with you, still has a job in this league and is still calling plays in the fashion that he is. And this continues, it's gonna result in the Jets having more offensive woes, whether Mike White's here or, dare I say, Zach Wilson, which I think that ship has sailed. But ultimately, again, this defense, if we're going to say they're going to be a top defense, a top 3 defense, the best defense in the NFL, they need to start taking the football away from opponents, particularly opponents that are at or above 500. And so far this year, they haven't been able to do that. They haven't been able to get the turnovers they needed in the critical moments to either negate a score or to give the Jets an opportunity in plus territory to make a scoring drive.
And that is very concerning, Rick, because, you know, you got to have this defense ready to go. You got to have this defense trying to find ways to strip the ball, get the ball out of the hands of the offense against their opposition. Because once again, and we don't want to keep repeating this, I think Saleh knows this. I would like to think that Robert Saleh is aware of this. So all you can really say is that for this Jets team, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, not a question of, you know, how are you going to do it, but are you going to do it? And that's the big question mark. And I think right now for the Jets, they got to continue to try to make these plays to strip the ball away from the opposition. I mean, the truth of the matter is this, Rick, and I'll still go back to the game against New England. If Sauce Gardner, who punched the ball out of the hands of the wide receiver, who had made the catch, made a football move, knocked the ball out of his hands, picked it up, took it all the way to the 1-yard line of the Patriots to start the game. I mean, that's another turnover on the road, and just cannot allow that to happen. I mean, still though, yeah, great job by Jermaine Johnson on special teams to block the punt. Unfortunately, the ball rolled all the way out of the end zone for the safety. If he could have, you know, gotten to it, you would have hoped for at least a touchdown in the end zone. Unfortunately, didn't happen. But still, though, I mean, Jermaine Johnson, hell of a play. I don't think he would have gotten that ball to keep it in the end zone anyway. It was too far ahead of him to try and keep the ball in the end zone to get the 6 instead of getting the 2. But still, though, Jermaine Johnson, I think he showed you a lot about what he's all about as a not just as a pass rusher for the Jets, what he did to Josh Allen when the Bills were at the Meadowlands, but his ability to get to the ball on special teams and making big, big plays for this team when they need him to do it.
Brad Boyer deserves a lot of credit. I know he's going to catch flack for the, of course, the infamous punt against the Patriots right after the bye week a few weeks ago, and that punt return that broke most Jets fans' hearts. But Greg Zuerlein has been a fantastic storyline this year. You mentioned the block punt being immensely impactful. I mean, just the bounce of a football one way or the other, and basically the Jets have themselves an easy just fall on the football kind of touchdown. But, again, they didn't get that lucky bounce. And I do want to say, because this relates to special teams too, Braxton Berrios, who really I feel Mike LaFleur has not given many opportunities to, and I'm not even talking about in the passing game. I'm talking about where he's getting the ball on running plays or short passing plays as screen passes or wide receiver reverses. I think he needs to be more involved in the offense, specifically in the running game on the perimeter. But I was very disappointed with how he started this game. I mean, he had the critical drop going back to last week, the 2 weeks ago now, to Minnesota. And now this week, the first opening drive, the Jets force the Bills basically to punt. And then all of a sudden, Berrios is letting the ball bounce that, you know, is down inside the 3-2-yard line. Then he has another punt that's almost basically almost hits him as he's falling down, almost results in a Buffalo possession inside the 5-yard line. So, you know, you look at some of those special teams, and those are just mental errors. Again, it's not failing to hold on to the football. It's just simply fair catching, not fair catching, understanding, where they are at the point of field position. And those kind of plays make the difference between wins and losses, and come playoff time, that becomes under the microscope. So the Jets, if they're hoping to make that next step from a feel-good story, a story and a team that nobody expected to be where they are this year in the standings, to a team that actually can legitimately get to the playoffs and put a scare into a lot of these playoff teams, they're going to have to clean up a lot of those things, particularly special teams-wise, Berrios in the return game, of course, not having Mike White a sitting duck in the empty set, and then the defense to get to that upper echelon level, that elite level of defenses where basically you're scared as the opponent to put the ball in the air and to maybe target Sauce Gardner to try to make a play downfield. They're going to have to take the football away. And if none of those things happen or one of those things happen, that's not going to be enough for this Jets team to make the playoffs because, as I mentioned, right now you have the Los Angeles Chargers that have the better conference record, the better overall record than the Jets right now. That's who the Jets are chasing, along with the New England Patriots, and you have the Miami Dolphins, who are in a bit of a free fall now. They're going to need some help, and they're going to basically need to take care of their own, get their own house in order. And I think I have confidence Robert Saleh will. But again, the Jets could play well, but they're going to be facing a Lions team that has Aiden Hutchinson, who's basically my vote, aside if you want to say Garrett Wilson, Rookie of the Year, as far as a defensive player, Aiden Hutchinson has all the makings of an all-pro player. He can wreck an opponent's offensive line. So if the Jets think they're going to get somewhat of a reprieve from that Buffalo front they saw this past week, they're in for a rude awakening, because I think this Lions defense is as physical, if not more physical, than the Buffalo Bills, and they have some capable pass rushers. So it might be another long day for Mike White if Mike LaFleur plans on putting and instituting the same game plan. Let's hope they run the football, protect their quarterback, and not make some of the mental errors that we saw up in Orchard Park.
No, I agree with you, Rick, and I think that's the one thing that Mike LaFleur needs to understand here, is that if you want to make sure that Mike White doesn't get another shot in the ribs or gives the defense of the Lions a free shot at his ribs, or at least at him, period, whether you sack him hard or not, he's going to feel it in his rib cage. And really, the Jets are going to have to run the ball a lot more. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. The victory against the Buffalo Bills was the most excellent game plan that Mike LaFleur gave, not just for Zach Wilson, not just for the offense, but gave confidence to Jet fans, saying, you know what, maybe Mike has learned from his mistakes. But instead of learning from those mistakes, and let's be honest as well, I think he also did a good job in the Minnesota game, where basically ran the ball perfectly, and you set up those passing plays that led to those chunk yardage plays, unfortunately no touchdowns out of it. But the truth is that when you set up the run to prepare for a passing play that you need from your wide receivers, that's what you got to do. You got to protect your quarterback. You cannot just go empty backfield every single time. I mean, if you want to do an end around and allow Braxton Berrios to basically run from you know, the backfield to go and end around it, that's fine. You want to pull another Philly special, that's fine. You want to do a gadget play, that's fine. But the truth of the matter is this. You cannot sell empty backfield every single down or nearly every single down just so you can chuck the ball down the field and score quickly. This is why you will fail to get a win in the NFL today.
And especially, I mean, Mike White has done an unbelievable job. I mean, again on Sunday, 9 different pass catchers had a reception from Mike White. It just shows his understanding of finding the open man, not trying to do too much with the football. You have capable tight ends on this roster, whether it's C.J. Uzomah, Tyler Conklin. I mean, these are well-rounded tight ends that are not just a one-trick pony that are just going to catch the ball in space. They can block. They can chip. They can be that sixth offensive lineman that'll maybe give, you know, this Jets offensive front that's been beleaguered. Of course, we know with the Mitchell with blood clots, him being shut down for the year, there's been so much reshuffling. And, again, you're not playing exactly a bottom three defense. This is a wrecking crew in the Buffalo Bills. So there's going to be times, no matter how well they're playing as a unit in the Jets' offensive line, that they're going to have some cracks and some free rushers coming at Mike White. So the more that you can load up that backfield with some insurance and some guys that can at least get a body or deter somebody from getting a direct hit on Mike White, I don't see why you wouldn't do that, especially when you have a crowded backfield with three talented backs that three, I would argue even four talented backs that could basically pop a big one at any point in time. I mean, you're basically you're not fully loading your pistol here with all the darts that you can throw, because you're just basically saying we want Mike White to be back there and he has a quick release and we're going to have faith in the fact that the offensive line can hold up just long enough for him to get the ball out and to make big explosive plays in the passing game when, as we mentioned and keep hammering this home and beating this drum over and over again, the Jets' strength is going to be possessing the ball much like they were in the early 2010s under Rex Ryan, where they basically want to protect their defense, keep the opponent off the field. And Mike White is smart enough where he's not going to make a costly mistake more times than not. He's going to not force a ball into space. But when you put him in third and longs and you put him in these goal-to-go situations at the end of games where they're third and goal from the 10 or 15-yard line, then, you know, of course he's going to try to make a play for a score and make a mistake like he did the last couple of weeks. So for me, I what's holding me back from having full confidence in this Jets team to really make a playoff push is this coaching staff and Mike LaFleur's refusal to at least alter the game plan to skew it more towards a run-oriented, conservative style. And even when you say conservative style, the Jets can run the ball and be creative, as you mentioned, with Philly special, wide reverse plays. Even I would love to see a double pass play with Garrett Wilson and Mike White, because that was something we saw early on in the season. Then that kind of went away, and we haven't seen anything like that really since before the bye week, certainly. So after the bye week, I should say. So, again, the Jets, Michael LaFleur, he has all the tools at his disposal. They have everything in front of them. The matter is putting it together, eliminating the mental errors, and finding the sweet spot in this offense where Mike White's going to be comfortable. He's going to be able to make enough plays in the passing game, but you're not leaving him out there as a vulnerable guy that's going to be, dare I say, hurt again or sidelined, because then you're back to Zach Wilson. And I think, Dan, everyone's seen the Zach Wilson movie. We know how it ends, and we don't want to see it again.
No, exactly. And the thing is this. I think some would say this, and maybe they would be against this. But at the same time, if we don't want to see Zach Wilson again playing for the Jets this year, at least till the end of this year, I mean, I don't see a problem, to be honest with you, giving Strevler the opportunity to be the backup in this game. In fact, be the backup for the rest of the season and just keep Zach Wilson as your third stringer, scout team, you know, have him continue to learn about rediscovering his fundamentals and fixing his mental game. Because to me, to be fair, I think right now you cannot give Zach Wilson any opportunity to go back out there. I mean, I understand what Saleh's got to do. He's got to play not just as head coach, but politician as well. And if you're going to have to elevate him now to QB2 as the backup, and you're not going to give Streveler an opportunity, I mean, look, personally, we think it's a big mistake. But, once again, this is why Robert Saleh gets paid to be the head coach, and we're not. All we can do is just become pundits and just pay attention and give our opinions about what they should, what they shouldn't do, cheer them and, you know, give them kudos for doing great things, and at the same time, tell them what they did wrong and why it was wrong. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for today's Jets podcast here on Just Another Jets Podcast. Once again, the New York Jets fall to the Buffalo Bills by final of 20-12. Join Rick Lachlan and me next week as we review...
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.